reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen.
Thank you, Sue.
I'm feeling the same.
Sorry.
I've got a pocket full if you need them. If the girls want to go, there are some activities over on the table if they want to sleep instead. I think the rest of the world is feeling rather similar at the moment. It's the story from Matthew. And what is Matthew telling us in the story about the Magi? Maybe a surprising statement to make, but in actual fact, this is the high point of the Christmas season. Christmas Day isn't. This is very important, please, I'm not understating that. But in actual fact, Christmas Day is a day when we celebrate the fact that Jesus was born. He was born and he was brought into this world. What have we got up there? Great, lovely. So I wasn't quite sure where we were. Right. He was born and he was born as a boy, a little boy. It's not until we get the Magi coming along that we actually have the importance, the real importance, the recognition of who Jesus is. The birth of Jesus is the high point for many people, and it's the holiday high point. But the birth of Jesus is only part of the story. The Magi actually recognize and confirm to the whole world the true identity of Jesus. Because until that point, Jesus could in reality have been any other baby boy that was born, and it's a joyous event that this baby boy was born. He was not just a child, though. He is the Son of God. So today I want us to focus on the response of the Magi. Matthew tells us that these men came from the east. But again, we're not told specifically where from the east. just that they came from the east. We don't actually know, by the way, how many. Now we sing that carol, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," but that's not actually necessarily technically correct, because we don't know that there were three. I think we've adopted three because of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we don't actually know that one brought gold, one brought frankincense, and the other brought myrrh. They could have all brought a mixture of gifts. We just don't know. We can undertake extensive research and study. We can have discussions with experts, in inverted commas. The fact is, we don't know exactly how they knew, even, that Jesus was being born. We know only what Matthew tells us, that they saw a star rising, and then they hit the road for Jerusalem, bearing gifts to pay homage to the newly born King of the Jews. Further, we don't actually know why they made the detour to go and see Herod on the way. Why didn't they carry on following the star to where it went? Matthew doesn't tell us. We don't really know. We can speculate, we can guess. Maybe one day when we're in heaven, we'll actually be told. I don't know. Maybe it's so insignificant it doesn't really matter. And we'll have other things far more important to be concerned about and to think about. You may remember in the Christmas Nativity, the children playing the Magi, they went wandering all over the church, didn't they? That's about what the Magi did, wandered all about until they came to Bethlehem. Well, actually, they came to Jerusalem. And the news frightened not only Herod, but it frightened all of Jerusalem with him. So that Herod called all his experts together to gather information on exactly who this child was and what his birth might mean for him and his empire. He wasn't concerned about Jesus per se. He wasn't concerned about the other people. He was concerned about himself and what would happen to him. And what would happen to the Roman Empire. And after he consulted his experts, he summoned the Magi back for a second conversation. Presumably so he could compare information and see which one was right and see if they actually did give the same information. Then he told the Magi an outright lie. He sent them out to visit the child with instructions to let him know exactly where the baby was located, so that he too could pay homage to the newborn king. And so the Magi continued on their way to Bethlehem, following the star to the exact spot where the baby lay. Matthew tells us that when they entered the house where Jesus and his family were staying, they were overwhelmed by joy, and they knelt before him and presented him with gifts. And then after the visit, they left for their own country by another road. Again, apart from the fact that they were told in a dream, we don't exactly know why they went a different road. We can only conclude that they took the different road in order to protect the child from Herod. But Matthew doesn't actually say that directly. All he says is that they were warned in a dream. And that's about all we really know. There are hints, clues. There are glimpses into the meaning of the visit of the Magi from the east. The question is, for us, what is the big revelation to us offered by this story? What does it tell us about who Jesus really is? Although the Magi followed a completely different belief system from that of the family of Jesus, or even the people of Herod's empire, the signs they see through the window of their own religious worldview compelled them to respond to their beliefs. Not only that, they see in this other religious tradition that in this child, The divine is not just present, but the divine is powerful. Seeing Jesus for themselves not only confirms that he is indeed one of whom the prophet spoke, but that the signs they read in the sky had led them to something very real and something very joyful. They experienced the divine presence and power personally, and they respond by kneeling down before him. Yes, they worship him. Let's look at verse 11 a little closer. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each of them had gifts. Each of the wise men had gifts. And in the same way, each one of us sitting here today, we have gifts. And I'm not talking here about Christmas presents and birthday presents. I'm talking about spiritual gifts. And thankfully, all the gifts that God has given us are different. The big question is, what do we do with the gifts that God has given us? You may say, I have a gift, but it does not seem to work well. How are you trying to exercise it? Are you working with it? Are you praying about it? Each of the Magi brought their gifts, and they opened their gifts before Jesus. And each of those gifts had an intrinsic value in themselves. Forget the spiritual meanings. Forget any other meanings we may want to put upon those gifts. They had wealth. They had money value. That was very high in reality. But the full meaning of those gifts, their spiritual meaning, their personal meaning, only came when they revealed what they had brought to Jesus. And I wonder if there's a lesson for us here as well. We have these gifts which God has given us. But their full meaning, their full power, their full use can only be fully revealed when we bring them to Jesus and we open those gifts before him to use. But the Magi also teach us how we should bring these gifts to Jesus. They bowed down and they worshipped him. They bowed down and they worshipped him. But notice, they bowed down and they worshipped him before they opened the gifts. They recognized that here was the Son of God. Here was the King of all creation, and they worshipped him, and then they laid before him and opened the gifts that they brought. I think too often we recognize we've got gifts and we use them, but we forget to come before God first, to worship God in humility and say, yes, I have these gifts, but they're not mine. They're yours, Lord. You gave them to me. You have given them to me to use for my brothers and sisters, yes, but for your glory, Lord, and to worship him. And it's important that we do that. Bow down. It's one of the things that I suggest we've actually lost within the Reformed Church, and that is the kneeling down in worship. And we don't kneel. We sing about kneeling. We read about kneeling. We talk about kneeling. But how often do we actually kneel before God and worship him? Recognize that he is the King, the sovereign Lord of all creation. And in his wonderful bounty, he's given each one of us gifts that he wants us to use in our lives. He calls us to worship him. We're too proud. We're too arrogant. We try to do things our way. We even try to use God's gift our way. For our own glorification, possibly. And the gifts actually end up being hidden behind our pride. Behind our big-headed, overconfident, and self-important personality. Because that will hide Jesus from the people of the community within which we live. And it will also mean that the God-given gifts that we have will all fail. I believe that our challenge for this year is to be humble so that God can work through us and be manifested to all the people of Kingstanton and Newton Abbot, in all the communities in which we live, in all the communities in which we work, in all the communities where we have contact. It's about God. It's about the glory of God, not the glory of us. As God said through the prophet Isaiah, "By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity, a word that will not be revoked. Before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear." And Paul to the Romans, he wrote, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God." And again to the Philippians, Paul wrote, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." One day, every knee will bow before Jesus. Whether that knee wants to bow or not, whether they've been arrogant and strong during their lives or not, on that great and terrible judgment day, every knee will bow before Jesus. All these people of history will have to bow the knee before God, and that is only a small sample. Every powerful person who has ever been born, every ruler, everyone who has deemed themselves to be virtually God throughout the whole of the history of the human race will have to bow the knee before Jesus along with us. But the question is, will it be the bowing of the knee in humility or the bowing of the knee in humiliation? For them, and for each one of us, will our knee be bowed in humility or in humiliation? The difference is between who you put first, both in thought and action. There are two readings I'd like to bring to you from the UCB readings from December. "The hardest thing you'll ever do is to put others first and yourself second, because we intuitively look out for ourselves. Self-preservation is man's first instinct, but it doesn't work. Do you know how two goats respond when they meet on a narrow path above a river? They can't turn back, and they can't pass each other, because they lack even an inch of spare room. The goats instinctively know that if they butt each other, they'll both fall into the river and drown. So how do they handle it? Nature has taught one goat to lie down so the other can pass over it. And as a result, both animals survive and arrive at their destination safe and sound. Instead of seeing itself as a doormat to be walked on, the goat sees itself as a bridge to be crossed over. So it becomes a win-win situation. The Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And to do that, you must focus on other people's needs instead of your own rights. We're in a society that very much emphasizes our rights without looking at other people's needs. The Bible says, humility and the fear of the Lord will bring wealth and honor and life. Humility is an interesting virtue. You're supposed to show it, but not know it. Humility is an interesting virtue. You're supposed to show it, but not know it. Jonathan Edwards said, nothing sets a person so much out of the devil's reach as humility. If there's one thing in this world your ego will neither seek nor strive for, it's humility. Yet true and lasting success depends upon it. So, it's only when we bow down and humble ourselves before Jesus that we'll be able to know the forgiveness and eternal life with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's only when we bow down and humble ourselves before Jesus that we will be able to access the gifts that God has given us. It's only when we bow down and humble ourselves before Jesus that we will be able to stand at the final judgment throne and hear that all our sins are washed away. What is your response to the good news that Jesus is the Son of God, the King? How have our lives been changed? And how are our lives being transformed by the big revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord? For you, is it humility or humiliation? I dare you to bring yourselves today, at the beginning of this new year, I dare you to bring yourselves and your gifts to the throne of grace. I dare you to bow your knee before him, accept him as Lord and Saviour, Lord of every part of your lives, every moment of your lives, the whole of your being. Bow down before God, that he may be glorified through you, that he may be known by all around. Bow down and accept Jesus Christ as Lord of every moment. Amen.
We're going to stand for our final song. The greatest day in history. The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus saves our God.
Finalized by greeting each other with the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Rachel.